Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Carissa Montooth, and let's get started. So today we're going to talk about true love. What do you think about that when you hear true love, Rita?
So for me, true love is that you have a bonding and a commitment, an emotional commitment, and an unconditional way of coping with somebody's true being, how they really are, and not how you want them to be. So for me, true love is something that comes from a bigger place than just my personal decision. I think it's felt in our heart, in our soul, and it influences our mind. Because all of a sudden you might cope with things because you love someone that you have never tolerated before. You know?
Yeah, that's so true.
You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, those things that maybe even belief systems and maybe even religion and certain upbringings might not be as important as they appeared at a certain other time in our life. I think this is true love, what true love brings in. And Sigmund Jung, you know, the German psychiatrist, mm-hmm. He said something, and I admired that a lot. When two beings connect at all, it's like two elements connecting, and then they're not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like oxygen meets hydrogen, and then they build water. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what love is about, that you actually die a little death, and you're not yourself anymore. And at the same time, you are yourself, but you're already changed and transformed because you allow someone else so much in mm-hmm. that there's no way that you can't be some bigger person, yeah. And also for the other person, that is for me true love too, that you risk to go there with anybody and to go there with yourself. And it's really a little bit like dying. And dying of maybe things that don't belong to us anymore, that we were attached to, that we held on tight to so desperately. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we change our whole perspective because we are changed by having love in our life, by giving it, by receiving it, mm-hmm. and don't have to think about, did I give enough or not? I think there is something very flowing and very natural coming with true love for me. What do you think, Carissa?
Yeah, I think that what you said about that, you're almost dying to your old self, you know, and having, I think that that's why it's so scary for people to feel that vulnerable, you know, to be able mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that that's why a lot of times people don't want to present their real self. They're mm-hmm. really, they're very afraid to do mm-hmm. that partly because what if it goes wrong and my real self is not someone that they're going to love, but also what if it goes right? And I'm in thing I don't understand that's like a deep life-changing mm-hmm. thing for me. Like, what if it's beyond what I could have even imagined?
It usually is.
Right.
That's my experience. Right. It's beyond. And now that you say that with being afraid of or being fearful of it, I like that you bring that in. Because I really think true love helps us to overcome the fear of what happens when I'm vulnerable and when I allow to be vulnerable. I also think that in our time, I don't know how it was a long time ago, but in our time I have the experience that it's also connected or tainted, I almost want to say, the true love aspects that people deal with shame and guilt. I feel like a lot of people, at least the people that come to my sessions, it might be different for the people that come to your sessions, and I would be willing to hear that. I'm interested what you have to say. They are experiencing shame and guilt for this longing or for this kind of desire or for this kind of passion, or don't feel that they are deserving. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Especially women. I think like what I experience with the men is more that they don't feel they're good enough, mm-hmm. and that the woman one day will find out. Mm-hmm. So they don't dare to open up in a way to those people that they truly love. They open up more to people that are not so close, because then they are not so confronted with their fear of losing themselves in love. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as the woman finds out, or he actually fears the woman can find out one day.
Right, and that seems to be,
yeah, it seems to be a collective male fear. And women very often don't know that about men. And for the women, it's very often that they feel they are not deserving or they are not lovable enough, mm-hmm. and that then one day they might be rejected. Mm-hmm. And for the women, there comes also the different hormonal thing, you know, because when we have sex, for example, I don't want to mix up sex with the true love.
But we can't, it's hard to talk about one without the
other. Yes, yes. So attraction can be there without having to love somebody, mm-hmm. because, you know, we still react to those body types or to certain body shapes or facial shapes, mm-hmm. where the women feel when a man is built a certain way that this is good for our surviving.
Right.
And we want
and
to...
And the same for men. That yes. The woman seems fertile. Certain, you know, in certain characteristics areas. Make her seem more fertile.
Or, the pelvis area. Yes. Yes. This is very promising because I always had that pelvis, you know. So, but fertile pelvis. So there are certain appearances and signs that actually really trigger those hormones in us. As long as we're in a certain age, I don't know how it is when you're 80 or 90, but you know, we will find out. And that is not something that needs to be mixed up with true love. And I think sometimes it comes together, the mm-hmm. sexual attraction and the true love. Sometimes it doesn't. So when women dare to go into a sexual relationship, their hormones, like the oxytocin, that's mm-hmm. the bonding hormone, but it's also the hormone that produces the milk.
The breast milk.
Yes, and the bonding to the child, mm-hmm. but also in sex, you know, in the sexual act, women produce way more oxytocin than men. Mm-hmm. And so their bonding is way higher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think our hormones sometimes can make us be feeling confused about, is that now true love or not? Mm-hmm. So I think when you get further into the relationship, when the hormones have calmed down,
you may look around and say, who did I bond to?
Yeah. So when the hormones calm down, and then you have to deal with
this person.
Yeah, with everyday life stuff, mm-hmm. and see what's then left. I think that is then very unrevealing of what's left and how deep a bond can go. Mm-hmm. And I think when we are afraid, we very often are afraid, how you said, of losing ourselves. But also I think the fear is connected to a big confusion nowadays, what it means to love at all. Mm-hmm. Because I can see that we want to be cool, mm-hmm. or we want to be a certain way of sexiness or so. Mm-hmm. And I think women have forgotten how to be women and men have forgotten how to be men. That can prevent us from letting the love flow easily where it appears, mm-hmm. and go more into the fear instead and make decisions or making blockages out of that fear, and also the shame and guilt. It seems to be a big thing because... you know, with certain belief systems comes a certain shame and guilt, mm-hmm. to really truly love. And I think love happens. I think it happens because when you allow it to flow, you will find out that you love a lot of people in a very different way. And we talked about that in another podcast.
We did, yeah.
But also, from what I've learned in the family healing, is that 80% of how you love your partner of now, or the people in your life, like your children and yourself now, has a lot to do with what you have experienced about love 80% in the original family. Mm-hmm. And so very often we mix things up with love. Mm-hmm. That, for example, that worrying is love. Mm-hmm. Or when I have to self-sacrifice my own life for the sake of love in order to deserve love at all or to be good enough. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that what we consider in the family healing, that this is not what love is. You know, worrying about somebody is a low energy. Mm-hmm. Loving somebody is a high vibration, is a high energy.
Yeah, and usually the worrying about somebody creates more things for you to be worried about. Yes. For that person in their life or in your relationship is what. Yes. I found.
And a lot of men don't like that. Like, for example, when a woman worries about the man, for a man, and a lot of women don't know that, for a man, this is like a slap in the face. Because what's very important for a man in love is that the woman trusts him, that he can do it, mm-hmm. that he is her hero. And when she worries about him, he doesn't see it as a compassion or
it's
an
like
empathetic.
Being his mother.
Yes.
Like he's a child, like you're saying, he needs to be taken care of, like,
and also,
he's helpless.
And also he triggers his archetypal fear of not being good enough. Mm-hmm. So he thinks that she thinks he's not good enough, because why would she have to worry otherwise?
If he was good enough, yeah.
Yes, if she trusted him. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So women out there, please, this is our message.
This is your tip, your advice.
Your advice, yeah. Worrying is not loving, and the men very often react very insecure to that. Mm-hmm. And then they either disconnect from the woman and go into their cave and don't come out, mm-hmm. or don't come out so often, and the woman doesn't know what happened.
She thinks, well, then she starts to worry more. Then she starts to push more.
It pushes her fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. Because he stays away, because he can't deal with that fear that he has, but he would never dare to tell her. Mm-hmm. Not because he's man enough, so he wouldn't tell her. Yeah, mm-hmm. He would tell maybe his friends in the pub or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is how I know it from Europe, yeah. And from where I come from in the USSR, in the former USSR. So they would rather tell another man in the pub. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she doesn't know. That triggers her fear, because he behaves differently. He's now distant, mm-hmm. and cold, mm-hmm. and takes more care of the job or of other people that are not so close, because there he's then safe.
They still see him as the strong person,
or he thinks,
that he's,
yes,
wanting them to see him as.
Yes,
yeah.
Because he doesn't know that she didn't think, mm-hmm. that he's not good enough in the, right. first place, but he acts it out already, mm-hmm. with her. And then she acts out her fear. Look, I'm not lovable, so he rejects
that's
me.
That's why he's not talking to me. That's why he's,
yeah.
not spending the time.
And then she will then pretend, it's all okay. It's all okay. And when he asks, oh, what's wrong? Huh? Nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, I won't tell you, she thinks, yeah. So that's what women usually do as a defense mechanism. And
we
so
want
both
them to guess.
Oh.
And I hope you guess correctly.
Yeah, and that brings us actually to the next point, yeah. because sometimes love is not enough. And I've seen that in the family dynamics a lot. So there can be really true love between people, or let's say a couple. Mm-hmm. And even though there is enough true love there, they split up. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes love is not enough. And what are we talking about here? It's, for example, when they end up in those defense mechanisms, in those roles, in those fears. Sometimes there are fears that go so far back that it doesn't have to do even with the original family anymore. What we were talking about here, this is also a collective fear, mm-hmm. you know, that was built up over centuries and centuries of experiences. And very often, love can't unfold because the conditions that are there in the family system are not provided. I give you an example. Let's say I had a marriage before, and Paul had even two marriages before. He needed to practice until he could have me. And Paul is the husband that I have in the family of now. Yeah. So let's say I would have cheated on my husband. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we both were singles when we went together. Mm-hmm. So we didn't. That's not our story. I just make it as an example.
Sure.
Let's say I would have cheated on my first husband with Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, and I would have broken up with my first husband. Mm-hmm. Because of Paul, and I wouldn't acknowledge that I can only have this relationship with Paul. Let's say that's the true love relationship. Mm-hmm. And the first husband wasn't. That was more like the reproduction mode that we were talking about before. Yeah. Or a mixture of it. Yeah. So let's say I can only be with my true love because I sacrificed my first other relationship. Mm-hmm. And Paul even sacrificed two relationships. I'm his third marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it always depends what happened. You know, if we were already singles or not, all those things matter. But let's say I would have cheated and I would have been connected then with Paul, and the sacrifice is my first marriage, and I wouldn't honor that and appreciate that and feel guilty about that, because that feelings of guilt, those feelings are guilt of guilt are appropriate. Mm-hmm. What I mentioned before, those vague feelings of guilt and shame are very often, because they are vague, and you can't point the finger on it, they have very often to do with old stuff, and sometimes with stuff that is not even our own, that we have taken on. Right. Here, it's different. So here I have my own guilt, mm-hmm. and then it's appropriate to feel that guilt. Mm-hmm. This is what I owe to my first husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I can give that a place and I, you know, I can say I'm sorry, I can't take it back, or so I can't undo it, but I can stand up for it, mm-hmm. and can take responsibility for it, then I can honor my first husband and the sacrifice and what I put him through. Mm-hmm. I can give it a rightful place, and that way I can also give my new love, true love, a good place. Mm-hmm. Because actually we're both guilty. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. And when I pretend this is not the case, it might be, let's say, Paul and I would have a child together, just mm-hmm. as an example. Then it can be, if we deny that, or we put that, you know, down, belittle it, then it can be that our child takes that on in order to create a balance in the system again. Mm-hmm. So that the child actually entangles or is on a subconscious level loyal to my first husband, mm-hmm. that I cheated on, mm-hmm. yeah, and has certain, you know, issues or brings in a lot of trouble into our relationship of now. Mm-hmm. So that we have to pay the price somehow. Mm-hmm. Because there's always a price to pay. And very often people are not aware of this. Mm-hmm. So true love is very often not enough. Because in order to live love, you have to look always at the bigger picture, the bigger system, and what price there is to pay. Mm-hmm. And if they deny that, or they are, you know, acting it out on a subconscious level, it can be that, let's make an example for the subconscious level, because it happens so often. It can be that then Paul and I, we always struggle with each other. Mm-hmm. So that our true love actually doesn't work out. So even little things then can bring us, you know, into a very bad space with each other, so that we actually build a balance to the system and we act out the guilt on a subconscious level. So true love, there's way more to true love than we sometimes think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you, in order to live it, we have to always heal the whole system. The show was produced by Polly Harrison. And if you have any questions, please send them to info@willowforyou.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at willow, W-I-L-L-O-W, the number 4, the letter U.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time when we talk about health, healing, and happiness.